The spindly rosebush was more thorns than foliage. Devoid of even a bud, it looked forlorn against the barren soil. It might have been only a dead stalk, not worthy of all the care being lavished upon it. But to Lady Rosalind, the meager bush was everything in the world she had left to give her little brother. Her face was pale and sober as she knelt on the ground. She was unmindful of the dirt that stained the light blue of her celestine overtunic. She only concentrated on digging a suitable hole in the rich black earth, then added a generous portion of well-rotted stable sweepings to it. She wiped at her face with the back of one hand, leaving a black smudge upon her tear-streaked cheek, but she did not pause at her work. A sob escaped her, and then another as she centered the shrub. By the time she scraped the mound of soil back into the hole, she was weeping openly. But that did not deter her in her task. With hands now grimy and nails ruined quite beyond repair, she packed the soil firmly around the roots. It was only then that she sat back against her heels and stared pensively at the lonely little grave before her, marked now by the thorny rosebush and a new stone marker. Beyond her, standing bareheaded and awkwardly gripping his Phrygian cap, the young page, Cleve, watched his mistress. He was hesitant as he approached her with the wooden bucket of water he had drawn from the garden well.
"Shall I water it now, my lady?" he asked in a hushed tone.
Rosalind looked up at him. Despite her own all-consuming grief, she recognized that he too was sorely distressed by young Giles's passing, but he blinked hard against any threat of tears, and she gave him a sad and rueful smile.
"I'd like to do it myself."
He gave her the bucket without argument, but Rosalind could not mistake the concerned expression on his normally matter-of-fact face. She knew everyone thought she was behaving most strangely, and that they were all humoring her, only because they did not know what else to do. Death always seemed to make people uncomfortable, as did dealing with the surviving family. When she had told Lady Gwynne that she wanted to plant a rosebush at Giles's grave, her poor aunt's eyes had filled anew with tears. But she had only wiped her eyes, compressed her lips tightly, and nodded. When Rosalind had told Cleve that she would plant the rose herself, she wanted no one to do it but herself. He too had accepted her wishes and silently acquiesced. But now, as she carefully poured water around the spindly plant's roots, she felt as if this gesture of hers toward her only brother had all been for naught. The rosebush changed nothing. The fact that she had labored so hard at it would not undo what had happened. She drew the empty bucket against her chest and gripped it tightly to her. Giles was still dead, still lost to the fever that had racked his frail body for 3 torturous days. Giles was dead, despite all her frantic efforts to save him, and she had never felt more alone. First her mother, then for all practical purposes her father, and now Giles. Despite her aunt and uncle who had been so good to her, she could not help but feel utterly abandoned. Cleve shifted uneasily, and once more his cap made the slow, twisted circuit through his hands. Aware of his discomfort, Rosalind took a slow, steadying breath.
"'Twill bloom in his place," she said softly, as much for her own comfort as Cleve's. "I know it looks quite meager now, but by summer's end—"
One last sob caught in her throat, and she forced herself to look away from the lonely little grave.
"Please, m'lady, come along now. Let me see you back to Lady Gwynne and Lord Ogden. Your aunt was most concerned that you should rest."
He took a hesitant step toward her small, bowed figure.
"You're finished here now. Come away."